Colonel Yerton looked out across the lush green fields of Krieg.
"They say this is the best view on the planet," said the woman at his shoulder.
Yerton didn't doubt the statement. He was standing on the balcony of the chairman's palace. The sun was setting on the western horizon ahead of him, painting the sky in shades of scarlet and gold. The irregular shape of Hive Auros rose up behind him, but cast its shadows elsewhere at this time of the evening. A bright blue river snaked its way towards the reservoir, and when the breeze blew in his direction, its soft chuckling reached his ears.
"Canapés are being served, sir, if you'd care to come back inside."
"I would not," growled Yerton. The woman chose not to press the point, wisely. The colonel sighed.
"I was stifled in that room, with all those puffed-up bureaucrats obsessed with feathering their already comfortable nests, avenging imaginary slights and briefing against their political opponents."
"I understand, sir," said the woman, diplomatically.
"I stepped outside for a breath of air."
She ventured a suggestion.
"Perhaps to remember what you've been fighting to protect."
Yerton rounded on the woman. Their uniforms had similar colour schemes of blue and gold, but hers bore the flashes of the Krieg Home Guard and a captain's pips. Her decorations were also more modest. Barely an inch of Yerton's tunic was not covered by a medal or a ribbon, worn for formality's sake. He had always felt such tokens weighed him down.
"On the contrary," he said, "here it is easy to forget."
"For some of us, Colonel, not all. We are all too aware of the horrors lurking out there in the dark. That is why the Council invested in..."
"In their own protection," Yerton snorted.
"They've fortified our cities and assembled a fleet of battle cruisers to..."
"Those horrors you cower from," he said, speaking over her. "The monsters and mutations, they would tear through your defences like parchment paper were they to reach you. You enjoy your peace for the sole reason that other worlds stand as bulwarks for you, because we meet the horrors on those worlds and beat them back.
And Krieg must play its part in that struggle,"
the woman accepted.
"Not only for its own sake," said the colonel in a dangerous voice, "but because the Emperor demands it."
A short silence brought the river's chuckling to his ears again. He took a breath.
"Tell the chairman I had to leave," he said. "Tell him I couldn't tolerate his whining voice and his petty, self-interested complaints a second longer."
"Sir?"
"Tell him what you like."
He stepped past the woman, towards the ornate doors leading back into the palace. A sharp twinge in his left hip, the ghost of an old war wound, told him he had stood still for too long.
"You'll be shipping out soon, then," said the woman.
Her voice brought Yerton up short. He turned to regard her, framed now by the darkening sky. She was slight of stature, but her muscles were well toned. She could have been proving her worth on a battlefield, but instead she languished here. She was in her mid-twenties. She was 24. He knew her age, so must have worked to earn her rank. Her high cheekbones and bobbed, flame-red hair reminded Yerton of her mother. He responded to her question with a noncommittal grunt.
"Goodbye,"
said Captain Sibella Yerton, hesitantly adding,
"Father."
She snapped to attention and saluted.